Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB. I'm Peter Greco.
Oh, good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. As I told you, I'm a little tired. I'm not a big baseball fan, but I started watching the World Series in like the eighth inning and finally went to bed at the 14th inning. I think it was 2 o'clock and lasted till like four. So I'm a little tired.
As I said when we came in, you know, you have the luck I have. That was the one game you decided to watch, right? And it ends up being an 18-inning game, right?
Yeah. Didn't make it for the whole thing. So,
anyway, right now it is October 27, 2018, about 10:05 in the morning. Well, 10:04, 10:05.
Well, you know, I'm trying to be accurate.
I don't correct Willard. Why are you correcting me? Yeah, but anyway.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I know. I can see you're going to be a pain in my butt today. But anyway.
Thank you.
We always say, you know, what the day it is and what the time is because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York at midnight, unless there's a sporting event and then the game. So you got me thinking about the game. The show will be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every week, Saturday, 10 to 11, live streaming at our website, sapriston.com, sapriston.com. Most devices that can connect to the internet should be able to pick up the show. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. If you miss a show, you want to replay a show, it's available at the website. And finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy.
It's up early. Should read it. It's got some nice charts. Peter and I were debating. Most people call that arguing about Chairman Powell of the Fed. And I think this market's showing us that the Fed needs to stop raising rates. They need to slow down, smell the flowers. I like this guy. I think since September, he's been walking back the impression that they're going to just automatically raise rates like most academics have done as Fed folk. But
I disagree. Peter disagrees. But anyway, I disagree.
Right. But it's a good article. Read it. There's a lot of information in there. So, but easy, you know, to understand, Peter.
It is always easy to understand. Doesn't mean it's right, but it's easy to understand. You know. So yeah.
You know, it doesn't.
Don't forget.
It's not right or wrong. It's who agrees.
Everything
or disagrees.
Is everybody's opinion, their beliefs, and whatever.
Opinions know? Are like what? Right? And everybody's got them.
Exactly.
Blah, blah, blah,
so there you go. But anyway.
Yeah.
Right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-7541, You are really...
We got in trouble. Remember the other day with the area code?
Don't watch any baseball games.
I can't. I won't.
Don't watch any baseball games.
8 o'clock tonight.
I can see when you don't sleep, you're a pain in my butt, as I said before.
716.
But the area code is 716. If you're calling from out of town, 716-803-1520. Or you could use the 800 number. I don't know if anybody uses that, but it's 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in right now. Phone line's wide open. Also, there's another way if you don't want to talk to us, but we want to talk to you. But if you don't want to and you'd like to ask a question or ask us about a stock, you can go to the website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming pops up on under it, and you can click on the live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a question, type in a symbol. If you put a symbol in, let us know whether you're looking to buy it, looking to sell it, or you just hold it, and helps us with the analysis. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And we're going to go first to Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, guys, I got bad news.
What's Tim Hortons closed?
Tim Hortons closed.
I went to my local diner today. Hey, okay. Listen, Pete, I got breaking news.
What's the breaking news?
We're in correction territory.
Really?
Do you guys go on Twitter?
No, I don't go on Twitter, but
You know what? You got to follow Tom McClelland. He is the greatest. Tom McClelland, he's given it to everybody, CNBC. But I'll tell you, he's been pretty good on this market. He said this echo to, I don't know what year. But he's been pretty darn good on this thing. I've been following him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a couple things like the five-day put-to-call premium is the highest maybe on record or 87, premium of puts-to-calls. There's a lot of good things that are sentiment-wise, but I don't think we've seen the worst of this yet. My own feeling is, I think they're really going to kill the NVIDIAs and the Netflixes. I think those got a lot more to go down. But if you got some good companies that have resisted the decline here somewhat, I think you'll be okay here. Maybe it's like 2000 when they absolutely hammered the high flyers and they left the other ones alone here for a while. To be honest with you, I still got to hold Verizon and Pfizer and even that piece of garbage AT&T and, things like that. But, hey, it's scary when it goes down quickly and they take no prisoners here.
It always goes down quickly.
Right, always does. And that's why they want to shake out as many people as they can, but really, if you've had some good companies for 4 or 5 years, you've done pretty darn well. So they're always going to shake out the weak hands here, and people panic out, and I get it. And but why hasn't gold caught a bit here?
Well, because there's no inflation, and there's no
that could be.
Yep.
And the dollar, the chart of the dollar is looks like it's going to break out here. So
I think the 10-year treasury is a new gold. When people would go to gold when they were fearful, now the 10-year treasury is 3.08%. It was just almost 3.50 going back 5 weeks ago. It's crazy.
I bought the TLT just on a whim here about 3 weeks ago. I bought it at about 112. It's about 115. I just don't see this thing blasting through 3.5. I mean, do you guys see that?
I don't.
I don't really, but
I don't either. You know, I mean, if we're slowing down here, which by every metric shows we are, I don't get it. I mean, and everybody's on that side of the trade with the higher rates. Mm-hmm. To me, that surprised me on the downside. But, Pete, I think this is what's going to happen. I think we're going to have some sort of rally next week, and then we'll go down into the election. Okay, where everybody's going to think, the Dems are going to, maybe they're going to win the Senate and they're going to have their way with everything. Maybe it'll be like 16 when the market really was no good before the election. Then it turned. Maybe that's what's going to be the catalyst here.
Yeah, it could be. It's,
People are going to now. I don't think people are going to be that surprised at the election, but the Dems are saying, they seemed a little bit cocky, and then the Republicans are saying, you better get out and vote. And sure as heck looks like it. In Texas, they had an hour and a half wait for early voting.
I don't know. And is it something the market gets creamed going into the election, But that's what happened in 16, too.
Good buying opportunity. That's why you got to watch some stocks and try and chip away if you got dry powder.
Yeah. But. Absolutely. The ones that are so. Okay, I called them one time and I said, you got to look at the weekly charts. The weekly charts are still good on a lot of stocks. They're still good. They have not broken the weekly charts. In 08, those charts got broken real early. All of the weeklies went bad. This time, they haven't. So I don't think it's a bear market. Let everybody talk about correction territory. That CNBC will drive you nuts. It's just you got to have the mute button on. So, all right, Pete, so what are you doing here? Are you nibbling on anything or just...
It's actually, you have to be a little defensive,
Right.
In other words, especially if you have stocks that have been the big momentum favorites,
right?
So you have to be a little defensive there. And second of all, if people have, like we always say at the end of the show, keep a little powder dry and you have cash, you make up a shopping list,
Exactly.
And you look and you say, hey, boy, if this stock gets down to here, I'm buying,
I mean, there's still a lot of good companies with a lot of cash. The dividend is still good. I mean, wouldn't you nibble here on General Motors a little bit on the way down to?
I don't know. My stomach turns on General Motors. So.
I just wonder. I mean, they got a lot of cash. Bad news has got to be in it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, what's a possible bargain price for General Motors? You're saying nibble. I guess you could nibble,
Amazon. Got to buy Amazon down here.
All it is, Amazon, if you look the last 5-6 years, it's gone through a massive correction almost every year. 30-35% people say they're done. I don't think so. My own feeling is they're not done. I mean, the chart is still good on it. I'd be a buyer 200 points down here, another 200, 300.
But you can nibble.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got good companies because the people that have gotten shaken out over the last 4 or 5 years, believe me, they regret it. So.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere a long time ago, that the big long-term growth companies that did fabulous, always go through 30-50% correction somewhere along the line, So.
How about Walmart? You would have been shaking out of Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
Exactly.
I mean, you can't watch the daily noise. It's driving us. Hey, Pete, one last question. Did you get Barron's today yet?
A lot of good stuff in there.
What was the cover on Barron's today?
Chinese stocks.
You didn't see what the AAII Bears was in the
No, I didn't see that.
But I need about 50% Bears for about a month. About 3 or 4 straight weeks of 50% Bears, and that maybe that'll be the end of it for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really hasn't been panic yet,
No, I agree.
I don't think we're going to get it. Peter and I were talking about that, Bill. I think those days are done. You get panic during the day with all this high-frequency trading. I don't think it's going to be a blow-off like we used to see.
Another thing, McCullough. call and said, I think the tick was a minor, some record tick, and 1-1-1-30 one day this week, maybe Wednesday. That's another good sign. But follow Tom McCullough.
Yeah, I just followed him. I'm gonna thank you for that.
Tremendous, because he jabs all these Fox business and correction territory crazy, but his charts are fantastic.
No, it's
look
good.
At his charts, and he's a really smart guy. I guess his father is still living, who started that McCullough Oscillator years ago.
Okay, yeah, sure. I was just going to mention that. You know, that's a big thing that everybody kind of watches is the McCullough Oscillator.
Tremendous. I mean, when you get a big time over, and listen, nothing. McCullough Oscillator didn't get it. Oh, it's oversold on the last down draft as it did on the first one. Mm-hmm. So that's a positive divergence too. I guess less stocks are making new lows. You gotta check those out. Those are very good things to follow. But bear market correction territory. Who cares? Let's look at individual stocks and see what they're doing. You guys have a great day.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you take care. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right, right now, phone lines are wide open. Very easy to get in. Give us a call. 716.
Thank you. Thank you.
803-1520. That's obviously if you're calling from out of town. Or 800-879-7541. And also, you can go to our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, and go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming tab comes up. Click on it. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box on the bottom of the page. You can type in a question or type in a symbol. And if you have a symbol, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, or hold.
We have a question.
What is it?
Guest 9274 says, in January, 25% tariff will go into effect. How will the stock market react, and will this increase interest rates?
Well, that's a good question.
That's what I told him.
Yeah.
I told him it was a great question,
but
a good question.
It's known.
It's
okay?
What?
It's known. You know, it's affecting the market right now. The market's always looking ahead.
I think
ahead.
It's part of it. Yeah.
Yeah, the market's looking ahead.
But I think.
And tariffs are having their impact. And a lot of, many
Chinese
companies
tariffs.
Have been coming out saying how tariffs are hurting them.
They're
going to hurt them.
They're. Okay. Projections for further, they're all taking hits on it.
Oh, exactly.
And that's it's going to be negotiated. There's no way it's going to be.
Because
10%.
The semiconductors have taken a gigantic hit, and they get a lot of their stuff made and whatever in China.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're asking for relief already, on it.
Wait till he negotiates it at 5%, 7.5%, whatever it may be. The 25 is on cars. That's the big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I the rest, it's not that big. Effect to our economy. It's the perception. But I think he's just going to negotiate it like he's done these other things. Then this market's going to take off. So looking at the Alibabas, the AMDs, I just think these are great values if you've got some money available.
Well, that's the cover story in Barron's. After a slide in Chinese stocks, where to look for bargains. Although they said it's still not time to buy Alibaba, Baidu, and whatever. Who knows? But anyway.
If we knew, we wouldn't be here, would we?
Right, exactly.
That's right.
So,
do your own research.
But also, it's affecting the market right now. So what's going to happen if they're imposed then? Maybe nothing. Maybe it'll be like buy the news,
It'll be something, believe me.
But who knows?
Plus, they're meeting. President Trump and China's Xi, are meeting at the G20. I'm going to look for it. It's sometime in November. So, and I don't think he'll whisper saying, wait for the election, because then I can do something.
But, well, we shall see. But, we don't know what will happen at that point.
Right.
You can never guess,
I know, but I'm not telling
anybody. It's just like if everybody watched the big marijuana stock run-up, And as soon as it was legalized in Canada, they've been tanking since then, So you're going to say, what's going to happen when they're legalized in Canada,
I just say smoke them if you got them.
But it's an example, In other words, everybody was touting and say, hurry up, get in before they legalize it, before October, whatever it was, 17, right? And October 17 hit. That was the top. Boom.
Yeah, that's the sell on the news.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. So, anyway, you know, so be careful trying to guess what's going to happen. You know, no question about that. Right now, phone lines wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520.
November 30th to December 1st is the G20.
Is it?
Okay. Yes, sir. In Buenos Aires.
800-879-7541.
That's an OG.
We're going to go to Art in New Jersey. Boy, you got running mouth today. But anyway. Good morning.
Good morning, fella.
How are you doing?
Good morning, Art.
Good. I have a couple items. One would be AT&T stock. I've held that a long time, and the dividend is coming up next week. It closed at 29.09, down 3.78 for the week. Now, it's very close to its low. The low has been 28.85. And at this price, it's a 6.9% yield. And I was thinking, since the dividends are taxable at only 15%, would it make sense to buy some more at this time in order to get the capital gains on this?
Well, it all depends. Can you stand more pain? I mean, in other words, I think I've been through this discussion on dividends. Some people are happy. They don't care. They think it's a great company, whatever. And as long as they're collecting their big dividend, they don't care where it goes down to.
I don't care much about the dividend, you know, it going down the ones I own already. But if I were buying more, I was trying to get it for not just the yield, but a capital gains from 28.85, say, up to its high has been 39.
Well, 52 weeks, 35. So, excuse me, I apologize. 39 is correct. That's the target that I'm looking at, 35. I think it's a great company, a good piece of a portfolio. So, I like owning pieces of
it. It seems like a reasonable price.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Second item would be Zimmer. Now, I've been holding that quite a while. It was a spinoff, and it closed
Bristol Myers spinoff.
13, down 927, ZBH.
ZBH,
Zimmer Biotech.
I think they make different devices.
Hip replacements, shoulders.
Yeah. Peter's going to need a hip replacement soon. So
I don't have any need for those, thank God.
No, Peter is. I'm following him, too. So.
They,
no, we're just
they
kidding.
Don't make cataract replacements.
They don't, yeah.
I'm going next week. I want to see if I have them because my sight's been getting bad.
Oh, okay.
So. I'm going to drag Pete with me.
I had one done 5 years ago, and I have a need for a second probably. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've broken your 200-day moving average, as many stocks have, okay?
Yeah. Right.
And that's at, like, 118, so this closed at what, 115?
115.13.
Yeah. It's down under its 200-day moving average.
Which is
average,
about, what, 119 or so?
Somewhere, 118, 119, that area, you know.
You think it was something to do just with the market in general?
Everything is. You know, you can sit here doing all this chart analysis and so forth, you know. And but you know, when the market takes everything down, it takes everything
down.
They
took all prisoners. There's
exactly.
No saving
right,
anybody.
Right.
So
yeah,
I mean, next support would be around 110 for it.
Right.
And you know, that's very important support. You break that, and you're talking about you know, depends how this market gets. Next support would be, so 105 to 110 would be the next support for this, you know.
Right. In regard to the VIX, it was a 24.16 at the end of the day. Does that information enter at all into telling you, you know, this measure of volatility, what you should do as far as your stocks go or your charts?
Well, not totally, because, like, you never know what the final peak in the VIX will be, you know.
Right.
And to me,
I think it's been up to 50.
It's been up to 100 and something. You know, I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I forgot what it was back in.
That shows a lot of volatility.
You know,
52 right,
week is 48. You look into VIXY, VIXY?
Yeah. But, you know, if you look at the VIX, which is, you know, the VIX, okay, the index VIX.
Yeah, that's what I was looking
exactly,
at.
Exactly, yeah. And if I look at, like, a yearly chart of it, you know, and I go back quite a ways. Well, it didn't quite come up. Hang on. -X. There we go. Okay. I was wondering because I was, whatever I called up said 200 and something. But back in 87, it hit 172.
Right.
So, and actually in 08, it hit 89.
Right.
And I think, let's see, where was the previous spikes? 15, it hit 53. And it hit 50 When did it hit 50? In this year? No.
40, about 47 is a 52-week.
Oh, this sometime this year it hit 50. You know?
Did it?
Yeah.
I'm just looking back to February.
Yeah, so you never know. You know, I was listening to somebody who, you know, trades in the market and so forth. He says if the VIX is over 14, you don't buy.
Right.
So, what can I tell you? You
know, if it's over 14,
over 14, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A CNBC show that 24.16, I see David post the 33.08. Is that a different version?
That's the VIXI.
Yeah,
or VIXY, that's the pro shares.
Yes, the shares.
Futures.
But the VIX is what people, you know, follow.
Sure.
You
right.
Know.
Do they move in parallel, the VIXY and the VIX you see on the CNBC?
I would think, but I don't know for sure.
I've never paid that much attention to it, to tell you the truth.
So how can you make a...
I don't make it. You know, obviously... At some point, if the VIX really spiked unbelievably, you know, that would suggest a major panic bottom, you know.
Sure. Oh, and the only other item I had, Pete, I know you said that you get Barron's online. Are you able to read, like I have a 17-inch screen, but I don't think, you know, since I get it in the newspaper, that I could actually see on the, each page. How do you work that?
It's no problem at all.
It's no problem.
You just scroll down. That's
all. Page by page, and
You just scroll down.
Same thing with newspapers. Yeah. You just have to make sure you find the right setting.
Because when it says magazine, you know, it shows you all of the articles on one page.
Right.
All right.
I see.
And then
I
just kind of glance through the article. Oh, that looks interesting. Click on it, and then you just scroll down like you do on any computer. You know.
Can you see the Nasdaq and the New York Stock Exchange prices as everything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I have to do that because I'm logged in. I signed in to do that, but I haven't done it yet. I like the newspaper setup, so.
Yeah.
If you
look, they often have very good deals for that, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
It said I can get it for free when I buy the newspaper. So
I'm
try and use that.
Yeah. Those days of getting a newspaper are coming to an end, so.
Yeah, I'd love to see it on my front porch Saturday morning.
I know. I do that with the Buffalo News, but I think I'm strictly going to go to electronic. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, have yourself a nice week, both of you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to talk to you, as usual.
Take care. Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you are out of town, you can use the 716 area code with that 803-1520. Or go to our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com, the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. You can type in a question or a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, or you're holding it. So while we're waiting for something in the chat box or the phone line,
something.
We'd like to talk to somebody.
I'm going to talk to
we
you.
We will take a quick... Yeah, I don't want to talk to you right now. But anyway, we'll take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities. Member FINRA, SIPC, member. Registered with the MSRB. And I think that's about it.
Okay.
So give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541.
I don't think anybody cares.
Why?
Because we're not getting a lot of calls.
That's why
with the market being so volatile.
That's why there's no panic in the markets.
So. Yeah, that's right. Or everybody was up watching the baseball game.
Yeah, that could be, too. They're all sleeping in today. We're going to go next to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Well, not exactly, because our producer's not
there. Oh, that's right. I guess we're not going to go to
Vic. So hold on, Vic.
Hang on there. Our producer's off.
Andrew comes back.
He's doing a couple different jobs today at one time.
Yes, he's multitasking.
Yeah. But one thing I would point out, Howard Marks had a very interesting column, article, interview in Barron's this weekend. And Howard Marks was one of the partners in Oak Tree Capital. He's looked upon as, you know, being a very savvy guy. And they asked him, there's been a lot of market turmoil since we spoke on October 1st, with the S&P down 9%. At that time, you said you were still in an optimistic phase of the market. Does that still hold? Answer, no. The interesting thing is really how quickly things have changed. It illustrates something I mentioned in a book he just wrote, which just came out. I refer to a cartoon whose caption is, "Everything that was good for the market yesterday is no good for it today." I wrote that in the real world, things generally fluctuate between pretty good and not so hot. But in the world of investing, perception often swings from flawless to hopeless. Nobody can say why this happens or why the tipping point was reached. But the psychology of the market is so irrational and excessive in its swings. In the beginning of 2016, the market was crashing because, among other things, people thought rates were going up and oil was going down.
True.
First of all, is it bad if oil goes down? It is bad for the oil companies, but it's good for a lot of other people. The increases in interest rates should have been foreseeable, and the situation is kind of similar to this time. And he says, in what way, they asked him. When the stock market sold off on October 4th, it was attributed to the rise in 10-year Treasury yield. But that shouldn't have come as a surprise. We've been in the rising interest rate regime for about 3 years. For some reason, because of the way investor psychology works, people switch from only seeing the good to only seeing the bad. So what I said nearly a month ago about the market being in optimistic mode turned out to be very fragile.
Yeah.
And then they ask him, does this recent volatility impact where we are in the market cycle? He says, you really can't tell. It could be a start of a down market for a while, or it could just be another wobble on the way up, as we've seen before. In this bull market, we've had periods of weakness, one in early 2016. Mm-hmm. You can't tell when these things, what these things mean at the time they are happening, and you can't really, and this is important, intelligently bet on it.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back. We're going to go to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, okay. Buddy. How you doing?
Good. Dave, you're a better guy than I am. I was only able to stay up to the 12th inning yesterday, and I'm a big Dodger fan. So,
sorry.
You know, I couldn't. 18th would have been about 4:30, I think.
Yeah, it was after 4, between 4 and 4:30 from what
I
understand.
Oh, my God, you know, but at any rate, I saw some of the highlights, and they were great.
Yeah.
I was watching CNBC yesterday, mm-hmm. and I really do think that the Fed is trying to do us in. I was listening to Loretta Mester.
Yeah, Laura Mester, yeah.
She said not only do they want to take us to neutral, they want to take us through neutral, which I thought was a really alarming statement for her to say, even though she said she doesn't estimate GDP to be more than 2% next year. She's just really a wacko economist, I think.
She's quite the liberal, and she's the epitome of what, you know, the old school academic, the figure says this, it's got to be that. But, you know, this is a person who probably has never had to worry about a mortgage payment, a health care, you know, day-to-day, you know, student loans, blah, 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 blah. And they get jaded by that. So
why would you want to push rates above neutral? It doesn't
well, I don't know that. About that, but I know that what Powell said way back was that all of the big recessions have been started with the market collapsing, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, with a bubble in the market, according to him, you know. So he's very worried about the stock market.
Pushing the market to collapse.
Yeah, exactly. So, and with, you know, obviously David and I disagree, but to me, the Fed's the Fed, you know.
Yeah.
And the Fed was, you know, mainly responsible for what we've seen in this 9-year bull market, okay? and you know, everybody else can take credit, but it was the Fed lowering interest rates to nothing and pumping money into the system, okay? So, you know, the Fed gives and the Fed takes. That's the way it's always been. It will always be, you know.
It would seem to make sense to take a breather in December, especially since they've planned on 3 increases next year.
Yep, it would make sense, well, but...
Go ahead, Pete.
You know, what some people have said is because Trump has been picking on the Fed that they might not want to back down, you know. So
I know.
Who knows, you know.
I know. I want to ask you about a couple of stocks mm-hmm. that seem to have held up pretty well, and I own both, and I'm actually looking to add. One is Target.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's right at the 200-day.
Mm-hmm.
And still looks like it may have some room to run. What do you think?
Well, I mean that's critical. It's given, you know, a short-term sell signal, okay, which could be, you know, a false sell signal. You never know, okay? You know, the most bullish thing would be for it to turn around very quickly here, and especially as a 200-day. But it does have very good support, probably in the, I'd say 78, 79 area. So that's what I'd be looking for. You know, I don't know if I'd jump right away, but, you know, if it got down to that 78, 79 area, or you see some signs in the market that things are beginning to turn, then, you know, coming off the 200 would be good. So you're in the right area, you know.
Yeah.
And that's Target TGT.
TGT, right.
Close 81.94.
Yep. And the other one is Boeing.
Yeah, boy, isn't that amazing, huh?
They came out with really terrific results, and of course, with the market going down, they went down, but not as much as some of their competitors.
Oh, no question about that. Yeah, and the interesting thing was, you know, whether right or wrong, they basically said that you know, they didn't think the Chinese situation was going to affect them. You know.
Right.
Which I don't know, you know, that's kind of surprising. But, I mean, the chart is still, you know, very, very bullish, you know. And what was the high on this anyway? Like 326?
No, more than that.
Oh,
392,
yeah, somewhere around there. And it came all the way down, then it rebounded. Where did it close anyway?
359.27, Boeing BA.
Mm-hmm.
394, 52-week high.
Yeah. And right now, where do you have your 200-day? At 348?
It looks like it, yes.
Right in that neighborhood.
And let's see, 340. So you know, you're in that area. You know, it would bother me, say, if it went down as low as 340 would give another sell signal, you know. So so I'd get a little concerned, you know probably... 340 to 336, you know. If it dropped below that, then I might get a little concerned. And of course, it depends on the market, too, right?
Yeah. Just one other last question about chart analysis. You know, since we've had a down market, all the charts look, most of the charts look pretty bad.
Yeah, a lot of broken.
What do you look for in terms of, you know, if a stock is below its 200-day, what do you look for in terms of, you know, interest in nibbling?
Well, you know, what you're looking at, A, is you're trying to find out where support would be next, okay? And will it start respecting that support, you know? So, you know, support usually means buyers are, you know, had come in at that area before. You're looking for them to come in at that area again. But what you want to really see is... you know, one clue is that the stock starts acting better than the market, okay? It doesn't go down as much anymore, you know, or else even starts going up, you know. Like the other day I was playing around with some stocks. The market was being crushed and they were starting to move up. So I said, hey, I'll take a shot at it, you know. You know, why would these stocks be moving up in a down market like this, right? So what you like to see is it maybe start acting relatively better, you know, versus you know what the market's doing. So
yeah,
you want to see that happen. But of course, when the market turns, you know, these things can just turn on a dime on you, you know. So you want to hopefully find out, you know, are they near some support where that could happen, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in the last couple of weeks, we've seen two really big up days seemingly indicating that there might be, you know, some stability. And then the next day, you know, like this week, Thursday was great. And then yesterday, Amazon and Google came out with their earnings after hours, and they were both mm-hmm. not good. And the market tanked yesterday.
So. Well, the earnings were good. The guidance was lower.
Yeah, the earnings were very good. There's no question about that. But the interesting thing is, not that I'm saying this could happen, but I happen to be thinking back to, you know, the action you're talking about there. And back mm-hmm. in 1974, 75, you know, the market just was a water torture. You know, you'd go up a little, you'd stay in, then it boom, down. Okay, up. And for 2 years, it just did that, you know, steadily down, but you never got out because there was no really big bad day, right? So, you know, you'd get a little rally up. Yeah, okay, it looks like, oh, it's only down a little today. It's only down a little today. It's only down a little mm-hmm. today, you know, and it just drips away. So hopefully that's not what's happening, you know.
Yeah. I agree with the comments you made before about Amazon. I think it looks really appealing here, even though they took a big dive. I think
that's why it's appealing.
they're just so dominant, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. You make up a list, but, you know, and it depends on your tolerance for the risk, okay? You know, do you want to nibble a little bit, you know, and you buy a little or something like that?
It's
that type of thing, you know. If I look at a point and figure chart, oh my God, you know.
Yeah, it looks pretty bad.
Oh my God, yeah.
But that Loretta right, Meisser,
and I was kind of half jokingly, he said, "Oh, I might nibble on Amazon." I said, "When it gets down to 1,000, I'd take a look at it." You know, so.
Yeah, that would be. A
yeah, I know. Yeah, that was tongue in cheek, but hopefully you won't see that.
Yeah, and that Loretta Meisser is the Federal Reserve Chair of Cleveland.
Oh, is she really?
It's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But she was appointed in 2014 by Barack Obama. She's a Ivy League educated, you know, Princeton educated liberal person. But anyway, but yeah, so she's, you know, I don't know. They don't get it. She's old school. Even though she's young, at 60, she's old school.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Okay, have a good one. Talking to you. Thanks for giving us a call. Phone lines are, well, picking up a little, but give us a call, 803-1520, that's 716 area code, or 800-879-7541. We'll go next to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, Dan.
How are you doing today?
Good. Okay, you sound
getting
like you
busy.
Have a somber tone
a
there.
No, not at all. Not
right.
At all. Just the Halloween effect.
Oh, yeah.
A little scary.
Yeah, Halloween's next week.
A little
that's
scary
for sure.
Thing, right?
Yep. Peter's got his costume on now.
And after Halloween, everything will turn.
Well, hopefully, you know, supposedly the best 6 months of the year to be in is starting November through April, you know. So.
Well, you know, I was just doing some, a while back, I remember I was reading this book, and it was basically showing, like, historical trends over the last 100 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it would show you periods of time in history, you know, over the 100 years. If you look at the charts as an overall scenario, times to buy, times to sell, mm-hmm. right? And basically it would say, okay, and it was a chart, right? So it was a chart that basically summarized everything over the last 100 years. You just look at the chart, right, and just pick the dates, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it just basically, you could clearly look at the chart. You sell on September the 1st, and you buy on November the 1st.
Interesting.
Because it was saying that those 2 months, September, October, were like the bad times.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
and then November up was like the biggest spike, you know, the biggest increase for the entire year.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, people always talk about October because you've had some horrible, horrible Octobers, all right? But overall, over history, September's been the worst month, all right?
That's what they said. That's what they showed in the chart, exactly.
Yeah, so what they're saying is the two possible worst months, September and October, Get out of the way, right?
Or at least, you know, be prepared.
Or,
right?
Or cut back or whatever.
Yeah, it's exactly, a little late for this year.
Right. So you should have told us that in August.
That's right. We should have been thinking of that in August.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. Well,
okay.
About since that big downdraft in January.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually when you see that, that means it's a precursor of something.
Oh, yeah. Plus, it's a midterm election year, which is always the worst year, you know, in terms of the market, you know, not being a disaster, but the weakest year in the presidential cycle,
right.
You know. And typically, you know, in the midterm election year, October normally is the bottom, you know.
Right, right.
But we shall see.
Yeah. So you guys have been talking about Amazon today. So if you guys look at that, where do you see really solid support on that?
Well, the first chart I'm looking at says nowhere, but
really?
let me get off that one. It doesn't go back far enough, you know. So.
Well, I know you mentioned 1,000. You're probably laughing at that, Peter, but that is a solid support area.
Oh, no, it is, really. But, you know, yeah, no question about that.
If you look at all the numbers and you try and relate PE to growth, 1,000 makes a lot of sense.
There you go.
Yeah,
there
but
you
that's
go.
But I don't think it's not an earnings-driven company.
Yeah,
that's where
I know,
people
I
get
know.
All... screwed up about it.
Yeah, but, let me take a look at.
But I don't think we'll see that.
Well, no, I've never owned it.
Hopefully not.
I missed it.
You know, no question about
gonna
that.
Start. But.
So I'm looking at it. I'm waiting.
Yeah, you're waiting. Let me weekly. That's, I mean, if somebody wants to own, you know, you buy a tiny bit.
Well,
you
yeah,
buy
this
a tiny
is a good
bit.
Time to
you know,
because
who the heck knows where the bottom is, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, you look
well, typically,
at...
typically, I mean, I don't like to buy falling knives. I like to wait, and I like see it. I like to see it find a support somewhere.
Yeah,
start to bounce off some area.
Because I'm looking back, and what the heck is... Oh, I was wondering, you know, I'm still stuck on the VIX chart. I said, what the heck is this? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this is a stock, Amazon, that's been as high as $2,050.
Yep.
It's $1,642. It's a bargain. And now there's projections. Listen to an analyst yesterday. He's talking $2,500 next year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, well, it is funny because if I went back to where the real support is, it is 1,000, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, yeah, really, really, no question about that, right? But, you know, if you're looking for another.
I think 1,600 looks good, too.
What does?
1,600 area.
Well. Yeah, I'd say probably 14 to 16.
Okay.
Yeah, about 14 to 16.
It's close to 200 day right now, I believe.
Yeah.
14 to 1600, okay. Well, I'm going to keep a close eye on it because I think you guys are right. I think this is a good time for somebody that doesn't have it, wants to get into it, to get into it.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. If we think we're right, we're probably not.
Well,
so.
But, you know, I mean, even if it goes down a bit more, I mean, you look at this for something for 10 years, 20 years.
Oh,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'd say, you know, okay. The fact is it closed at 1642, so 14 to 16, and might be closer to 1400 if the market gets worse. So
I'm going to watch the 1600 area pretty closely.
Okay.
Good idea.
Anyways, I wanted to bring another one up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think about the Big Mo? It's been quiet for a while.
What's that?
M-O.
M-O.
Oh, okay.
The Big Mo.
Well,
it's been quiet, but it's been going up, you know. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it just broke out of an area.
Yeah, I think it came out of a really nice base area that it was in, you know, when it comes down.
Because the market's been so bad, people are smoking more.
Right, exactly.
Well, I think typically, you know, these are the companies that people rush into, right?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely defensive. You know, the next resistance is 64.5, right?
64, okay.
So you'd want to see that taken out. If that gets taken out, you go back to, I'd say, that'd be the important breakout area.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you'd rather see it break through there?
Well, I mean, either that or you buy a little bit above it, but, you know, there's been a lot of resistance over the last year.
Oh, okay.
You know, in that area, you know, so.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think Big Mo hit like around, it was around 80 and it got hammered. I can't remember what the issue was at that point in time.
Yeah, I forgot what it was. I can't remember either. I don't know if it had to be they wanted nicotine cut down more or something. I don't know, something like that. You know, I forgot
what
it was. The
52-week high is 74. That's Alteria. MO closed at 63.09.
Yeah, and the April low is 54, right?
All right.
Yeah, so.
You guys have an opinion on the tobacco stocks in general? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't own them.
Really?
Well, they kill people.
Well, I mean, I know.
I mean, there's not a good future in something that...
Well, you know, the other thing is, I think, like with all this mania around the world over marijuana, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
these are the obvious companies to get involved in it.
Well, I agree. No question about it.
I think eventually, you know, these guys like Big Moore are going to wipe everybody out.
Well, that's a good point.
I mean, these are the people that are set up to
Matter of fact, I think, didn't they make an acquisition in the marijuana area?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know if you checked the news. I think it did, to tell you the truth. I check on it, you know.
Well, I mean, to me, it just makes logical sense, you know.
Oh, sure.
I don't think any of these people are going to survive.
They had e-cigarettes.
With all these canopy growths and that, these guys are going to get wiped out.
They pulled them, though. They pulled their e-cigarettes last week.
Once guys like, you know, Big Mo and Philip Morris get involved, I think they're going to wipe everybody out.
Yeah, it could be. Very much so. You know, it's something a lot of people probably are not thinking about, you know, but...
It makes too much sense to me. They're set up and everything, right? They got the plants. They got everything going.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, guys. Great show as usual.
Okay.
Thanks,
Dan. Thank you very much. Thanks for the call. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are, you know, pretty wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, 716 area code, or 800-879-7541. Go next to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Richard. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you? I don't have much time, so... You got busy at the end as usual, right?
This time, yeah.
It's always that.
Yeah. I own shares of Square, and I was doing really good with it. Now I'm getting clobbered.
Yep.
Well,
you got greedy. Yeah, I did.
You got greedy.
You're right. I got greedy.
Join the crowd.
Yeah, no question.
Yep. Join the crowd.
No
question.
I didn't
sell either.
Earnings are 11.7. I'm very scared. I own Intel also, and that's the only one I ever did good with this year going into earnings.
Yeah, well, that's surprising. Yeah, that was surprising to me, you know. So
I know. Yeah. I know between what was going on with AMD and all that,
AMD
got clobbered. It's very hard to figure out these days.
Well,
I'm not a big fan of algorithms and programs and all that stuff. You know, it just makes it tougher on us small guys.
Well, it does, but, you know, if you stay, you know, you have to have some discipline in terms of risk, you know.
Yeah.
And if you had a gigantic profit, why don't you take some off the table? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. I got greedy.
I always say that every time, you know.
Take some off.
You know, the next support area for it is 65, and it closed where? At
71.12 SQ square.
So if
It'll
the market continues weak, the next support's around 65, and then the next support below that's down around 56, 57.
Yeah. Do you ever sell going into earnings, or if you believe in the company, you just ride it out?
Depends on you. If you have the long term, you know, you're an investor, then you don't worry about
it. So I didn't sell going into Facebook and another one, and then I went and going into Apple. I told everybody, okay, it's going to go up. I sold, and of course it went up. So I, whatever.
So you don't know.
So it depends on your time frame, but obviously if you've got a stock. Now, this one's tougher because it's come back down, right? So, but if you got a stock that's been going way up, I'd take some money off the table ahead of earnings.
It's just
earnings,
so hard
to do. But,
I'm thinking of taking some off, to be honest with you. And I could always get back in if I was wrong.
Oh, yeah, no question. Yeah. I mean, if this is going to be a big, big winner, you know, you'd hope to see it go back up to 100 or more, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, 65 and 50, what I'd say, 57?
57.
Yeah, it's
okay.
A 200 day.
Thank you. I was looking, at one time I called and I said I was thinking of GM, and Willard said, well, we always prefer Ford. are you still holding Ford?
I believe, I don't know if we've sold it totally. I believe,
I've sold the autos 10 years
ago. I believe in a recent meeting, Willard mentioned he thought we sold half of it, you know.
Okay.
And but, you know, they had good earnings.
I wouldn't own any of the autos. I think you just, you know, there's so many other better things to buy than auto stocks.
Gotcha. Okay, great. Well, I'll let somebody else come on. I appreciate you helping me.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Happy Halloween weekend, guys.
We're going to go next to Don in Hamburg. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, that's okay. I think Peter's right on. The TLT and the TBT is the way they play the volatility now with instead of gold.
That was me. That was David. He feels bad.
You know, come on. You gave me credit.
I don't get credit for anything. No, it's okay.
That was the ones I'm interested in is the home builders. They seem to have finally turned. The whole group was up last week, and I want your opinion on why you think it happened, and do you think it will continue?
Well, I don't know why it happened, other than the fact that they're the worst group for the year.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, and you know, the bottom line is some people may have finally seen value, you know, and some people are beginning to think that maybe people are going to go more toward value here, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because I owned KB Homes way back, and then I sold it in the 30s, and it just went under 20 this weekend and then broke out. Then broke out.
But well, yeah.
Like 20 now. So I'm thinking of picking up some more of that. Could you take a look at...
Yeah, I'll take a quick look.
Yeah, KBH, excuse me. Yeah, closed at $20.01.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, you know, on one chart, it's like catching a falling knife here.
Right.
You know, even though it rebounded. But you're saying it rallied back to what?
20 from under 18.
Okay.
It was on 18 something this week.
Yeah, see, an aggressive person, if it went to 21, that would be a turnaround on the point and figure chart, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would stop it out if it dropped below, if it dropped to 18 and a half.
Okay. All right. The one other thing was the 10-year.
Oh, I think time's over, unfortunately.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
Was
the China's not buying our T-bills anymore, and even though Powell's going to raise a quarter in December, I still think that because there's not participation between them and the Treasury is not buying anymore.
Okay.
They're removing their balance. They're taking them off their balance sheet, and I think that's why.
Good point. Well, thank you very much for calling. Okay. We reached the end of the show. Keep a little powder dry. We'll see what happens next week. And, you know, make sure you're protecting yourself out there. That's for sure, you know. So, and don't get greedy. You know, some stocks in there, you got big profits, you know, keep an eye on them.
Have a good weekend.
Till next week, take care.
Happy Halloween.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.